Hello, everyone. This is Mike Quincy connecting the light. My guest today is Fred Burks. I can only express it this way, but he will explain it if there is a better way. That Fred works with or for PEERS, which are the initials that stand for Public Education and Empowerment Resource Service. They're primarily as a non-profit organisation to spread inspiration, education and empowerment. So welcome to the programme, Fred.
Thanks, Mike. It's great to be here with you and with your listeners.
Well, I'm very pleased to have you on the programme as well. I guess the first thing you need to do is to explain what PEERS actually is and your role inside it.
Sure. Well, basically, I became quite inspired for a variety of reasons back in 2001 and 2002 and put up a few websites that were all about inviting people to step more deeply into our own power, to step into transforming ourselves and our worlds. And the websites got popular pretty quickly. And within a few years, I had people telling me, oh, this is great. You need to set up a nonprofit organization to run this so that we can give tax-deductible donations. And so I said, okay, put together a board of directors. And in 2006, PEERS was officially founded and has grown quite a bit from since then. We've got now 12 websites and have had over 10 million visits from all around the world and have a great email list. And we're all about helping people, like you, Mike, by the way, to see the beauty, the divinity, and the power inside of them, and how when we come together, we can all transform ourselves and our world in the most wonderful ways.
Right. So what is your actual role within PEERS organization?
Well, I am the executive director, so I'm the one who... It's a small organization. I'm the main person. We have a couple guys that we pay for small things and a lot of volunteers, but we're not a large organization by any means.
Right. So you've mentioned that you have now a total of 12 websites. Do they cover the spiritual aspects of the period we're coming into?
Absolutely. One of my favorite websites is called the Web of Love, which you can see at webofloveorg. And what that is all about is helping people to remember that we're all interconnected through our heart energy. And when we envision the interconnectedness of all people on this planet, it creates a web of love around the planet. And the more we feed that web and connect with that web, the more powerful it comes, and it sets a whole sacred container around the planet, which allows for wonderful transformation.
Right. I noticed that you run a number of courses. When you're bringing together people like this, what are you hoping to do with them as a collective? I mean, are they working as individuals within the collective, or are you somehow bringing them together?
Well, we're doing both. The free online courses that we offer are also all about transformation in various ways, and anyone who completes one of our longer courses then becomes part of a community. We have an online community where people communicate and share information with each other and, again, work towards these similar goals. And one of the things that we also do, in fact, our most popular website is called wanttoknow.info, and that's also about revealing some of the shadow aspects of existence and showing what's going on behind the scenes that is being hidden from us so that we can then use this information to make a difference and to stop the negative behavior going on the planet and invite people all to join in creating wonderful positive transformation.
Right. So your objective is really to produce a positive change in people, although you clearly have to point out the problems that we're facing on this planet. does this fit in any way with people's expectations of ascension? In other words, the December 2012 sort of feelings?
Well, my own feeling is that these are wonderful, amazing times that are getting more and more exciting, and that the magic, most magical time is always right here and right now. And when each of us takes this moment that we're in to really open to how we can better ourselves and how we can better our world, then the transformation is just going to grow. And for me, ascension is more a state of mind and heart than something like a huge, I'm not expecting on December 21st for suddenly some people talk about a harvest where, you know, all the good people go off to a good planet, all the bad people are stuck on this bad planet. I mean, it could happen that way. I've heard that, but I want everybody to be part of this transformation. And even the people who are doing some pretty terrible things on this planet, in their core, they are divine beings. They are aspects of the divine, and I want to invite everybody to transform and join in this cosmic dance of transformation.
Right. Well, I certainly agree with you there. We could probably talk all day about the reality, in fact, whether it is real in that sense, whether it's holographic, as some people think.
Mm-hmm.
But do you believe that we're all here, to put it very simply, to experience and grow in some way?
Absolutely. I mean, that's what free transformation is all about, is realizing how amazing every one of us is. Because that's hard for a lot of people to see, because, of course, when we grow up, you know, our parents condition us to try to be like they want us to be, and very few of us get really unconditional love when we're growing up. So we have wounding inside of us, and by recognizing that wounding, we can then consciously work to shift it so that we can open up to the beauty that is there inside of each one of us, and it's actually there in every being around us. And when we live that, we inspire others to live it. And that's when we create big shifts, both in our personal lives and in the world.
Right. So I notice that you apparently invite people to take part in an information exchange. Does that go through peers, or do people have a total free choice as to what they get involved in?
Oh, our community networking portal for people who finish the course, that's not monitored. It's just anybody can, it's like, you know, people post things and then they can rate them how much they like the post. So the good posts naturally move to the top as people rate them and how much they like them. But no, that's not monitored. We have had one time where there was one member who was causing a lot of controversy, and so we had to, for a period, remove his posting privileges. But that was only because it was causing a lot of controversy, and actually few years ago, and we haven't had any problems since.
How do you work it in the sense that it is a non-profit organization, and it presumably must cost you something to put on courses? Do you sort of survive on voluntary donations and that sort of thing?
Well, you know, my life has been very blessed in many ways, and I had good work. I used to work as both a nurse, and I worked as a language interpreter at the U.S. Department of State, and worked at a high, very high level there. And so I had saved up towards my retirement, and basically by 2003, when I dedicated myself full-time to this work, I had over $200,000 in the bank. And it basically, this felt like my life's mission. And so I said, forget my retirement. I'm going to be my own benefactor and give myself a grant of $200,000 to do what needs to be done. So in the beginning, I wasn't paid. I quit my other jobs, and I basically lived on the savings. But then also we welcome donations, and people have been very generous, so that I volunteered for 7 years, didn't get paid anything, and actually put in over $25,000 of my own money. But now we're getting enough donations that I can pay myself $2,000 a month, which is about what I live on. I live very cheaply, so I'm pleased that I'm actually pulling in as much as I spend now.
I had a look at your site, which you said is a very popular one, Want to Know. Yes. And I noticed you had an article about shifting paradigms. Now, a lot of people believe that we are, in fact, at this very time, very rapidly moving out of the old paradigm, which we could say no longer serves the people, into a new one. Now, is that your understanding? And if so, what do you see will be the major shifts taking place?
Oh, yeah, I'm very excited. I definitely see that we're moving rapidly into a new paradigm. And, you know, if you go, as you mentioned, the website wanttoknow.info, on the left-hand side, there's a list of links, and one of them is called A New Paradigm. And we talk about the old paradigm there, and the main focus of the old paradigm was on establishing control through promoting fear, secrecy, polarization, and also distracting people from their deeper purpose in life. And then what's happening now is we're becoming aware of that, and part of it is becoming even aware of where that exists in ourselves, and then making a commitment to work on all of these issues both inside ourselves and out in the world. And I think when we really work on this, when we focus on really getting clear on our own life purpose and intentions, when we focus on transforming fear into love and taking responsibility for our lives and encouraging openness and community, when we focus on all of these things, we can't help but start to transform our own lives and help people around us to transform. And each of us sends a ripple out that becomes a collective wave that spreads around the planet. And I really see that wave growing now as we enter this new paradigm.
Right. So do you feel that as people can grasp the idea of a new paradigm, that they can in fact help to manifest it, or is it going to happen, shall we say, quite naturally?
Well, I think it definitely happens. I think for me what I'm seeing is that it's up to each one of us. When we start really living that paradigm, then that becomes our world. Mm-hmm. And the more people that start feeling that way, like, I have to tell you, I really love my life. I feel very blessed. Even though I don't make much money, I don't need money. I have incredible abundance in rich relationships with my friends. And the work I'm doing, I just love. And so there's a way I feel like I'm already living the new paradigm. And people around me see that, and they like it. They appreciate it, and they let me know that. And that helps them, empowers them. And so to me, there's a way that each of us can choose to be living in the new paradigm right now. And we don't have to wait for anything.
Right. This, again, I agree with you. I think you have to, as the expression goes, sort of live your talk.
Mm-hmm.
If you believe in a new paradigm, live it now. Try to be what you believe you're going to be.
Absolutely, yes. And also to be aware of our own blocks and, you know, aware of the shadows within us. Every one of us has wounds and shadow parts. And not to be critical of those parts, to do our best to accept them, to see them for what they are, and then invite them to transform with us towards a more healthy, loving orientation.
Right. Now, in that same article about shifting paradigms, you say that each individual can come to know themselves to be free of all forms of hierarchical control. Give us an idea of how one might do that.
Well, let me first mention, I think, so we've got two essays on our website that are about a new paradigm, and the one you're reading is actually, I didn't write, that's the Shifting Paradigms essay, and that's further down in the links.
Is it right?
Yeah, I actually didn't write that one, but I love that article. To me, it's one of the most powerful articles out there. And, yeah, it's all about going beyond the hierarchical belief systems. What I've come to see as I explore the, sort of the shadow side of the world is that there's a desire of many people to have a leader who tells us what to do, and then we just follow that leader, and it builds up this whole hierarchical system where we give up our own power to that leader, and therefore that leader has power to shift everything that happens. But of course what happens is, you know, power corrupts, and that system becomes quite a mess. So this particular Shifting Paradigms essay you're talking about is about moving beyond the old hierarchical paradigm and coming back to a place where every one of us is a co-equal creator of the reality in which we live.
Yes, I certainly go along with that as well. In fact, in that article, it talks of the hierarchy withholding and suppressing information, which I think is something we've been very much controlled by.
Mm-hmm.
And clearly what you're offering people with these various websites is the materials, I suppose, or the tools to release themselves from this old form of empowerment.
Very well put. That's exactly what we're trying to do.
Hmm. So what happens if someone expresses an interest in peers? Do they come to you and look for suggestions as to how to approach their own needs? So how does it work for someone who takes an interest?
Well, basically, right now, on average, we have about 8,000 people coming in every day to look at our website. So we don't have the manpower to deal individually. People can email, but we kind of keep the email address somewhat like down at the bottom of the website so we don't get overwhelmed. We try to set it up so that anybody who has questions can look and find the answers easily on one of our websites.
Yeah.
We have search functions on each of the websites, and particularly if people go through the courses, you can see a list of contents in each. There's like 21 lessons in our two main courses, and you can see what the contents are, and most people are able to find information that they need just through the process of looking on the website.
Right. So do people, or are people working with one of these websites able to automatically get in touch with one another? I mean, do you have sort of something that might be the equivalent to Facebook?
We have not developed that. That's one of those things, if we had enough people and time, I would love to develop more of that. The only thing, as I mentioned, we've developed is for people who have finished the course, there's our online networking community, which actually you can go and see it. It's at gatheringspot.net, and that's where all of our people who've completed the course, and you can read the post there, but you can't participate unless you've actually completed one of the courses.
Right.
And once you've completed, as I say, you're free to post anything you want. But we'd like to have that as a place just for people who've completed the course to post their thoughts, their inspirations, any information that they get.
Right. So is there a basis for the, shall we say, the spiritual side, which I'm interested in as much that if you look to other websites for information, do you have any particular ones that you draw your material from, or do you sort of surf the certain websites and then select what you want to circulate? Is that the way it works?
Well, what has happened for me is I really don't have time to do a lot of surfing and checking out. We have a large network of volunteer supporters, and basically they send me information. And I get these emails saying, you really should check out this website. And I've had many people recommend you, Mike, and believe me, some people who support our work also love your work and have had me go look at your website and stuff. So I depend on other people to help me find the material that's best out there.
Hmm. Well, it's a wonderful idea, and I'm sure in view of the numbers of people that you've mentioned that have an interest in it, it's something that must be very difficult to cope with at times.
It hasn't been. I've learned, when I started getting overwhelmed with the amount of emails coming in, for instance, I think I mentioned wantknow.info is our most popular website, now gets about 6,000 visits a day. We had a contact us link right at the top left, and so I took that out and just put it at the very bottom so that people would really have to look to find how to contact us, and that cut down the amount of email. And so thankfully, I've really never been overwhelmed, though I keep plenty busy with all of this wonderful work.
Right. Now, I would think in this particular time, because people sense there are great changes taking place, And some people have a future vision of ascension or some upliftment. Where would they find the support for their, shall we say, their views or belief in what is coming along? Because people can resonate with a vision for the future, and they might be, say, looking to you or one of your websites for that lead. I mean, is that something you can do for people?
You know, we have not done that yet. As I said, I have been so focused on just putting out great content that people can use to help themselves that we haven't focused as much on the networking aspect. I'm actually helping. We've got a relatively new website that hasn't really been developed much yet called The Divine Mystery at divinemystery.net. And this is the first website we're going to set up in a way that people can leave comments after each article and then start communicating with each other. But yeah. We're still just developing that, but it's going to be, the divinemystery.net is going to have some of the most rich, deep spiritual information. But we're pretty new to that, so I would direct some people to some place like yours or other places if they're really interested in finding
large communities. Yeah, but I think at this time with what is taking place, that would be a very necessary development. It would seem to me to be a natural type of evolution that you become aware of what is truthfully happening around you. You become aware of what the reality really is, and then I think you need to elevate that so that you do understand the divine purpose for the human race. And having said that, what do you think it is yourself?
The divine purpose for the human race?
Yes.
My own feeling is that the divine wants to experience itself through us, and that once we become aware of our own divine core and that we're sent here to experience life in its fullest and to learn and grow, everything that we learn and grow is a contribution to the divine. And so we're here to explore this third dimensional realm with the beauty of the earth around us and see how we can create a heaven on earth. And I really do believe it's possible to create a heaven on earth here when we all come together around that.
Yes, I'm certainly with you where those views are concerned. And when you look around, I mean, I suppose with the apparent chaos that we're in, one might find the idea that we can create any type of heaven on earth almost an impossibility. But I'm thinking that with websites like your own that have so much to offer, you can help people to understand that that idea is possible. Because
absolutely.
I believe, and I think like a number of people, that we will, in short time, find some really major changes taking place on the earth. And I think following them, people will become more aware. But I think what you're doing is really preparing them for that event, or perhaps you believe you're taking them even further.
Well, yeah, basically, as I said, for me, it's an internal event that can happen. Like, I really feel like there's a way that I'm already living in heaven on earth. I love my life, and that the more I can inspire people through my work and through organizations I'm involved in and through directing them to people like you, and I think you know, Mike, there are thousands and thousands of other people doing powerful work like this on the Internet. And so when people start becoming aware of this and they see it's like, oh, I want a life like that, and then, yes, we can provide the resources. And I agree, we need more online networking to support people as they open to this.
Right. Now, I noticed that reading some of your other information on peer service website, that you have something called a challenge day. Can you explain what that is?
Oh, sure. Oh, if you want to watch one of the most moving videos that you'll ever see, go watch the challenge day video clip. This is a fantastic organization that goes into high schools and junior high schools and puts on a one-day program. And in one day, it's amazing, they'll have anywhere from like 50 to 100 students go through this program, and by the end of the day, you'll see enemy gang leaders hugging each other and saying, I'm sorry. And people who've been picking on others as bullies just in tears saying, I'm so sorry I've been picking on you. They just go through a process that helps people to see how we're all human, how we all are, in a way, we all have our deep wounds, and yet at the same time, we all want to do the right thing. So if you you can Google Challenge Day video or just Google Challenge Day and watch. There's a 15-minute video that every time I watch it, I'm brought to tears with how powerful it is. And I know that people who founded the program, which is now in several countries and it's widespread in the United States, just doing fantastic, powerful work.
Well, that sounds a wonderful arrangement there. Do you particularly target younger people or people in schools or colleges or whatever?
Challenge Day does, and basically I'm friends with one of the founders of Challenge Day, and he and I have a lot of interchanges, but that's not our particular focus. We have people of all ages contacting us, everything from high school all the way to people up in their 80s and 90s. But yes, we love Challenge Day, and they are specifically focused on the youth, particularly teenagers.
Yes. I notice you have yet another website, which you call Wisdom Courses. Could you explain a little about what that would entail?
Sure. If you go to wisdomcourses.net, that shows you the four online courses that we have put together. And every one of these courses is free. There's no charge. And my own belief is that if we put out good quality transformational material, people will donate and contribute of their own goodwill. And that has turned out to be quite true. We've gotten very generous donations from people who've finished the courses. But the four courses, one is called the Inspiration Course. And this is for people who feel like they're already overwhelmed in their life and they don't need to be looking at shadow material. They just want to focus on the light and the love. And so the Inspiration Course is just, it will inspire you deeply with videos, with powerful quotes, with wonderful essays, and great information on how to open your heart and open to more love in your life. And then the Hidden Knowledge Course is for those who want to know what's going on behind the scenes. It's about specifically, the opposite of the Inspiration Course, it's about specifically focusing on the hidden things going on in our world and using the best reliable information to show what's going on, and then also giving ideas on how can we shift this, how can we transform it. The other two courses, one's called the Insight Course and one's called the Transformation Course, those combine the two. They kind of interweave the shadow and the light in a way that can be very inspiring, yet also very educational, and leave people fully informed and with great tools to help transform both our personal lives and our world.
Yes. I should think the Hidden Knowledge Course is very popular because it seems to me that people are understanding that they are of the love and the light, and they do want to know how to, as it were, spread it around to help other people. And I would imagine that that's something that is of great interest. But who actually writes the sort of courses?
Well, I was the main writer. There's a team of three people, two of my own personal friends who are wonderful spiritual beings, and we would meet every week, and I do the main writing, and they would give me ideas and suggestions. And also, it's basically a compilation of what we feel like is the best information out there on the internet and weaving it all together into these courses. So we did that over a course of a couple years. And the most popular course is actually the Transformation Course, because this is really designed for those of us who are here, like you and me, Mike, who know that we're here to help transform the planet. And there's a lot of people looking for guidance and support in doing that. And so the Transformation Course is specifically for people who know they want to help with this major transformation happening.
Yes. I would imagine transformation courses, again, are very popular. What was your own background before you came into this? Because I imagine you must have been inspired, and you must have had a lot of knowledge beforehand to know how to put this all together.
Oh, in fact, I knew nothing about the internet and wasn't that interested because I preferred direct personal interactions. You know, my father was a Methodist minister, but he was very liberal, and so I grew up with sort of a spiritual background, but I was not interested in following just one religion, and so I studied all of the religions. I had some very powerful spiritual experiences that opened me to some sort of deep knowledge about sort of, you know, the importance of the heart and all that kind of stuff. But then in 2001, I got some information which really shook me up about stuff being hidden from the public. And at the time, I was actually working as a language interpreter, as I said, at the Department of State, and I was actually interpreting for people like George W. Bush and Bill Clinton. And I had never seen anything that particularly looked like the huge conspiracy that some of my friends believed in. But then eventually, I got this videotape that just shocked me to the core, and it was all about this huge UFO cover-up. And when I saw that, and it was 22 top government and military witnesses all testifying at the National Press Club, which is one of the most prestigious media organizations in the United States, I just, wow, it just shook me to the core, and I realized the world's not what I thought it was. And so that started me on a whole new quest in 2001 to find out what's really going on in the world, and that's when I started getting really active on the internet and learning how to do all of the things that I've learned to do since then.
Yeah. I mean, speaking to you on a sort of personal level now, since you've mentioned UFOs, the cover-up there has denied people in the main, unless you follow the subject and you've got your own beliefs already, knowing that we have what I would call a family of space people that are connected with the Earth and have been for thousands of years, that are really waiting for the right time to come and join us again.
Absolutely, and they're waiting for us to call on them for assistance. I think it's sort of a universal spiritual law that you're not supposed to really help somebody unless they want help. And so the more people that join us saying, hey, please help us to transform this world, we've got serious challenges we're facing, then the more that they can come in and help us out. And I know you help with that, Mike, and I really appreciate all the work you've done.
Right. Well, I think that's a very important aspect, and it would appear from various reports and channeling that disclosure, which will announce the presence of space beings, that is, official recognition of their presence, won't be very far away. And I think when that happens, it will open a whole, what you might call, hornet's nest, because you can't stop at that announcement. Once you do that, people will be asking so many questions about why it was covered up before,
absolutely,
what the significance of it all is, and I think it will snowball from there.
Yes. I have very much the same vision that, and that's what happened to me personally. As I said, I watched this one video, and that started me on a whole snowball effect that led to all of this, and I think you're absolutely right that once they realize they've been fooled and cheated and even lied to about this whole UFO cover-up, they're just like, well, what else has that been going on with? And pretty soon they'll start seeing the whole game that's been going on, and it'll be exposed, and then everybody will say, wait a minute. And I think things will really start getting exciting then.
As I've often said to people, disclosure is not really needed in one sense, because the UFOs and the intelligence that are behind them has been in contact with the Earth for a long, long time. I mean, if you look in recent period, probably from the 1940s or the late 1940s, when the first UFO flaps started to take place. So anybody of any age would be unlikely to have not heard of UFOs or occasional contacts. So you wouldn't imagine, really, that disclosure was necessary. But for a lot of people who have doubts, maybe there still are people who can't comprehend it, that is what is needed. But if that, if that happens, but when it happens, will that make quite a difference to the way you operate?
Oh, well, my hope is that my work won't be necessary after a while. Once people are really open and aware to everything that's going on, it starts being reported in the newspapers and television where it should be, then I feel like my work's going to be done and I can move on to other things.
Well, yes, to some extent, I guess you're quite correct. But
I'd love to be put out of a job.
Sorry?
I said I would love to be put out of a job.
Yeah, that's what, this is one occasion, and for that reason, you wouldn't mind. There is a strong feeling at the moment that disclosure will take place by the end of the year now.
The end of this year?
Yes.
Wow.
If that was so, then you have people suddenly having their minds open to something perhaps that they didn't understand or may not even have considered. In some ways, it might make an organization like yours even more important.
Well, yes. And if you know, if something does like that for a period, I imagine we'll get more interest. We're all set up, for instance, if people start finding out about UFOs, if they go to Google and type in UFO information, our website comes up first. Or if you type UFO cover-up or UFO facts, we show up first. So if that does happen, we will get inundated with a lot of information. I'm hopeful that that would also bring in more donations so that we could actually hire one or two people to really do some of the things that you've mentioned, build up more of a network for connecting and do other things. So for a period, I imagine, you know, our information would become more valuable. But that eventually, I hope the whole world will become aware of what's going on, and then, as I say, I would be less. This kind of information would be less needed.
Right. I mean, because when you think about it, you have a website, Hidden Knowledge. Now, presumably, that must cover this aspect of UFOs and contact with these intelligent extraterrestrials. So that in itself is helping people to understand. But have you ever had any, just on a personal note, any direct experiences or sort of sightings? I mean, is your own belief sort of 100%?
I would say my belief is, I'm never 100% on anything because I like to hold a little bit of skepticism, but it's definitely up above 99%.
Right.
And I have never had any what I would call regular third dimensional experiences with ET, where I've actually seen something that beyond a shadow of a doubt is an ET or UFO. I have many friends who have, including my own housemate, who had amazing UFO experiences, but I have had definitely energetic experiences, quite a few. And I can actually feel, I guess you do this, Mike, too, I can actually feel the presence of some of our ET brothers and sisters and feel the connection with them and have a sort of communication. And I definitely am one who invites them to help me all the time and help us all the time. So actual physical experiences, no, but energetic all the time.
Oh, that's wonderful. In fact, I think that is something to be encouraged, whether people are asking our space friends for help, their guides, the angels, or whatever.
Yeah.
I think there are a lot of beings around every person, if only they would become aware of them. And like you said, sort of ask. You might not always get what you ask for. But,
right. my own personal orientation is I'm always asking for what's best for all beings. Or the highest good is the way some people frame it. And so, and I ask for guidance if any, because there are spirits out there, I think, that actually like to cause trouble and to give challenges. And so I think it's important. I always ask for guidance towards whatever is best for me and for all beings. And whenever I ask for something in specific, I say only if that's what's best, because I don't know what's best, but I trust that the universe does. And so by putting it out, always asking for what's best or the highest good, I fully trust that I'm getting the guidance that I very much welcome.
I agree with you, yes. I think through my life I have had those occasions which we often refer to as coincidences when perhaps you've been saved from some type of self-harm or accident or injury. And when you begin to understand that you have these invisible helpers around you, I think sometimes, at least I can say that in my own case, I can see where I've clearly been helped to avoid maybe even killing myself.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't mean I don't mean self inflicted.
Right.
I mean
falling off a cliff or a car accident.
I went to step off the curb, and I thought the buses that use this route came in the opposite direction to what they did. And I looked in the wrong direction, and it was clear. And I went to step off the curb, and I was turned on the spot. I just went round on one foot so that I couldn't step into the road. And I think
wow.
if I had have done, there was a bus quite near, and I would hate to think of what might have happened to
wow.
me. But in the normal events, if you get an experience like that you can't explain,
mm-hmm.
You just think it's a bit odd, and perhaps you don't give it another thought. But I think we get a lot more help than we perhaps realize.
I absolutely agree. And in fact, I think it's important to give gratitude when something like that happens, like, thank you. And
yes,
I believe we're all being watched out for, and even people who don't believe in those beings, my own belief system, there are beings watching out for their good.
Yes. And if I may, since it's an interesting subject, I can tell you of another occasion when I was decorating at home. This wasn't very long ago, and I did a silly thing. I was standing on a chair, and I was emulsioning the ceiling, and I was reaching more forward, and more forward. And you're going to guess what I'm going to say. The chair toppled, and I went down. Now, the funny thing was, I was holding a paintbrush in my hand full of paint. I had my arm out. I've landed on the carpet, or I should say glided onto the carpet. There wasn't a spot of paint that fell off the brush.
Oh, that's amazing.
I didn't have any form of shock. I didn't hurt myself.
Wow.
On top of that, on the chair was the pot of paint that I was using, and it hadn't spilled.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
It's like somebody just literally caught you and set you down in the paint and the paintbrush.
Yes. Yeah.
Wow.
And it made me think of a story I read a long time ago of someone who had a sort of similar type of experience. I remember reading about, I think there was a couple in a car, and they were heading towards this junction, and another vehicle came out in front of them. And they're sitting in there thinking, oh, my God, this is it, you know, we're doomed.
Mm-hmm.
And they said the car lifted up and went over the top of this other vehicle.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
Yeah.
I have friends that had a similar experience, but their experience was they actually went through the other car. Friends of mine. And they said it was, like, impossible. But they came out unscathed, and they said they went right through the car.
Yeah. So if these things happen, I mean, that's a more obvious thing. I mean, like happened to me when I fell, as it were. You know fully well that this is not an ordinary experience. But I'm grateful for the fact that I was due a little bit of help.
Mm-hmm.
But the people that come to you, can they sort of contact you as an individual? I know you said you don't really invite a lot of emails because you haven't got the time to sort of deal with them, but...
Well, I do. So everybody who emails so far, if it's any sort of serious inquiry, I always respond. And so if people feel like they really do feel called to contact me, that we do have a contact us link at the bottom of the page of every website, and I'm the one who answers those. So I just ask people to be respectful that my responses tend to be short because I spend 2 hours a day on email, and I'd rather not to increase that. But if people feel like it's important and this is the right thing to do, please feel free to contact me.
Yes, right.
I imagine you get quite a few emails with yourself.
You have another place which I don't know if you've mentioned it so far, called The Gathering Spot. I think you might have mentioned it briefly.
Yeah.
That allows members from around the world to share inspiration and fascinating information, as you term it, on a wide variety of topics. So you do have something laid on there where people, if you like, of a like mind, can get together and share what they know.
Well, as I mentioned, that's actually the website for the people who've completed one of our courses. And anybody can go there and read the posts, but if you want to actually be active in exchanging posts, you have to finish one of the online courses.
so when they take the online courses, then whatever course they're taking, the results are submitted to you, and then you come back and tell them whether or not they've sort of made the grade. Is that the idea?
Oh, everybody makes the grade. All you have to do is complete the course. And basically, we have a thing where you register for the course, and it's all free, and you just leave a comment or two after each lesson, and that's what we ask people to do. Then the only thing that we ask is that they've actually completed the course. So we can go see that they've left a comment on each lesson, and pretty much as long as they've done that, we've never turned anybody down, that they can become a member of that gathering spot.
Right.
So it's not like you have to pass. There's no pass or fail, but we check that people have actually completed the lesson.
Are the courses over a set period, or can they do them as quick as they like?
At your own pace. We highly recommend people don't do more than one lesson a day, but we've had people take as long as 2 years to complete a course, and that's fine.
Right,
yeah. And people have given great comments. I can tell you, three people have actually written us and said, literally, you saved my life, and told us exactly how. I won't go into all the details. And almost everybody who's completed said it has really tremendously helped them to transform their lives and to have a bigger picture on what's going on in the world and open more to their own heart and their own connection with the divine.
Right. So if people have taken one course, is there any sort of natural progression to the next one, as you might say?
Yes. After the inspiration course, we encourage people to do either what we call the insight course or the transformation course. But the transformation course is the sort of the final one. We'd love to develop further courses, but have not done that yet. So people who've completed the transformation course, we have other information out there, but we don't have anything further than that yet.
I was actually surprised when I received the guest inquiry for Piers, because to be honest to you, unless it's past my eyes and I haven't really noticed it, I've never actually seen Piers come up before.
No, Piers is not very well known. Much better known is wantknow.info. That's by far our most popular website. So Piers Piers itself is just the nonprofit organization, which is the umbrella for all the websites, and it's the websites that become known, not so much the organization. Those who subscribe to we have two email lists with a total of something like 12,000 subscribers, and those always come from Piers. So the people who are on our email list recognize the name Piers, but mostly it's our websites that are popular.
Is the website Peer Service your sort of main website that embraces all the other ones, or don't you have a central website?
Yes, that is our central website, and it's peerservice.org for those who are interested. peerservice.org. So that's the umbrella website, which doesn't have a lot of information on it other than explaining our work and all of the websites.
Well, I think in a relatively short space of time, you've done a wonderful job putting it together, and I very much doubt that there is another website that does something exactly the same as you. It's just a very, possibly not a unique idea, but quite a novel one of a way to approach the whole subject to help people along.
Well, thank you. That's I've been hoping that somebody else would do this kind of work, but I think you're right. I haven't seen anybody who's doing what I would call embracing both the light and the shadow, which means let's look at the shadow and then work to transform it, but also let's look at the light and find balance and have lots of information for people to look at integrating everything in our lives.
And you've obviously given it some thought, because I see you also have a website called Inspiring Community for building a global community for all, and I guess with what is coming up, a global community is going to develop anyway, but it would be nice if people had ideas and knowledge and the wherewithal to start doing that and maybe get together with other people and get something rolling.
Absolutely. I think that's when we're going to see real changes, when all of us start developing our own little local groups where we work together to create transformation, and be like these nodes around the world joining and helping each other.
Yes, that would be very nice. In fact, with the problems, if you can call them that, in the Middle East, where the people have clearly said we've had enough of tyranny and dictators, mm-hmm. and they are, through people power, forcing changes through, I think that is a sure sign that the level of consciousness on the earth is certainly changing very rapidly.
Absolutely.
And now, of course, we see the demonstrations in Wall Street have now spread across Europe, and mm-hmm. a number of cities, even if they only have small numbers of demonstrators, mm-hmm. are getting together on the same sort of vibration.
Yes.
This urge for change is suddenly growing very powerful.
Yes, it is. It's very exciting. And I think, as you said, it could even snowball further. And 2012 may be a very magical year, and even the rest of this year.
Yes, indeed. It does make you wonder, thinking of what is going on in the States at the moment, where Wall Street is concerned, what the outcome may be. But I think we hope and pray that they keep it as long as possible as a peaceful demonstration.
Yes,
because
yes.
It's a sure thing that as soon as anybody starts to use anything in the way of violence, they give the police or the authorities an excuse to come right down on you.
Well, and we know, too, that sometimes the police even send undercover cops in to create violence. And thankfully, people are onto that now and doing their best to try to identify that when it happens. But in the past, that's what was often done, is they would literally plant people to cause violence so that they could
yes.
then discredit the movement. But people are onto that now, and you're seeing videos showing that here's an undercover cop doing this, and then he's arresting this person. So the information and the way we can use our cell phones and the Internet now to spread this is really helping, and if people will hold to that peaceful desire for peaceful change, I think it's going to be really exciting.
Yes, I think you're absolutely right on that. In London, the people that are camping down, as it were, outside St. Paul's Church have been asked to move on, but they're staying put just for the moment. But fortunately, that has proven to be a very, very peaceful demonstration, and I suppose the authorities for the moment can't find any real excuse for getting them to move. But I think even if they were forced to move, they would set up camp somewhere else. There
yeah.
seems to be an energy that's going along with this, with these demonstrations, that is so strong. I think it's giving these people a lot of staying power.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I think this movement could grow more, and it could spread quite a bit. So I definitely am a strong supporter.
Yes. And I think behind the scenes, these people do get support from others within places of authority who sympathise with the cause that they are demonstrating for. And I also think that, perhaps unbeknown to us, we also get some help from our space friends.
Yes, absolutely.
They are spiritual beings, and they obviously care for us on the earth, and
mm-hmm.
they are really quite active players in the changes that are occurring.
Mm-hmm.
And we're inviting them, which they have responded to come to the earth at the right time and see us through the sort of last year of the changes. And then I think they will go through like wildfire.
Yes, and as you know, they're also speaking through people like you and many others in wonderful ways that are spreading rapidly and inspiring people to be a part of this.
Yeah. It certainly, if you like to look at it that way, I do, and I know you do, an exciting time.
Mm-hmm.
Like you've said a few times, how you're enjoying your life because you have this knowledge and you know what is happening and you can fit in with it and be part of it.
I'm on my path. I know that I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, and I know that's what makes a huge difference. when I'm living with passion, when people live with passion, they can't help but more enjoy their lives.
Right, friends, we have come to the end of the program rather abruptly, but never mind. I thought that was a very interesting interview with Fred Burks. He set up an amazing organization there, a project that's clearly growing all of the time. So I wish him every success and hope it attracts more and more people. It leaves me with just a short time to tell you that next week I have a well-known author, Colin Bennett,